Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of i5 for the iPhone is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/i5. Hello, friends and adversaries. I'm Sarah Lane. Welcome to the latest episode of i5 for the iPhone. This is the show for us, the iPhone fanatics, the people who sleep with our iPhones. Hey, they're warm. Every week we cover 5 topics from the apps you must have to the news you must know, and we'll throw in a few tips and tricks along the way. But enough about us, on with the show. Number 1. I've mentioned in the past how much I love to use my iPhone as a camera. Have I mentioned that? Yes. And you probably do too. But what happens when you and I take a bunch of photos somewhere together? Your photos are on your phone, mine are somewhere else, and now we have to coordinate to share them, but that's a pain. And also why a new app called Flock is a godsend. As long as you have location services turned on in the camera app of your choice, and that's very important, you can just start taking photos. Through Facebook Connect, Flock knows which of your real friends are in the same place as you and are also taking photos based on that shared location data. Once Flock identifies a series, it creates a shared album. At this point, you have the option to upload any photos that Flock suggests. It's nice to have this as an option rather than a default so that you can choose not to share, I don't know, an embarrassing photo, something that's unflattering, photo of the ground, etc. You also don't really have to think about using Flock. If you've been out and about, you've been taking photos, Flock will send you a notification if you have photos it thinks you should share with your friends or a friend's photos to view. And here's the kicker. Flock works backwards in time. So for example, a few months ago, I went to a Cinco de Mayo party. It was really fun. I took a bunch of photos. But I never knew that this photo of me and my friends, Ashley and Molly, even existed. I forgot about it. And it's really cute. And now I magically have it, and I didn't have to bug the person who took the picture to email it to me or upload it somewhere. Now I just save it to my camera roll, and it's mine. Just imagine never having to take a group photo on 8 different phones just so everybody has a copy ever again. Flock is totally free and 100% worth it, and it's made by the same team who created Bump. Good work, guys. Numero dos. Speaking of photos, we've gotten a few emails about PhotoStream and iCloud, and in a nutshell, I think it's confusing some of you. There are a couple things you need to keep in mind as iCloud users. Okay, so I've got PhotoStream set to on in my iPhone's iCloud settings. If I also enable PhotoStream on my other Apple devices, like my iPad and iPhoto on my MacBook Air, using the same iCloud account login, when I take a photo on my phone, now that photo will automatically upload to iCloud and then download via PhotoStream to my other devices when they're connected to Wi-Fi. So now I've got a photo I took on my iPhone that I can also view and edit from my iPad or iPhoto on my laptop. Got that. But that photo now has multiple versions. On your Mac or your PC, photos download in full resolution. On iDevices or Apple TVs, PhotoStream downloads what Apple calls device-optimized resolution that speeds downloads and saves storage space. In other words, not full res. So that picture I took on my iPhone, if I edit it in iPhoto on my Mac, I'm editing the original version. But that's not true for my iPad. I will be editing a downgraded version of my iPhone photo. And it works the same way if I take a photo with my iPad's camera and I want to edit it later on my iPhone. Recently, I went on vacation. I used my iPad to edit hundreds of photos from that vacation that I took on my iPhone. I have lots of photo apps on my iPad, so it seemed like a fun, good little project. But because I pulled them from my PhotoStream, I was cleaning up the lesser versions. Now, this might not matter to you. Maybe you can't see the difference. But if you do care, and I know some of you do, in order to preserve full res, only edit photos from PhotoStream on your PC or Mac or on your iDevice after syncing from the full resolution version on your PC or Mac, which is not very seamless at all. Number 3. Let's see a show of hands. Who out there has both an iPhone and uses Windows Media Center? Okay, 1, to, okay, there's like a million of you. Luckily, this week's i5 co-host Phil Crawley has an app for that.
Hi. Just a great iPhone app I'm using at the moment is called Remote Potato by Fat Attitude. You can choose, you know, individual or recurring programs to record and do all the things that you can do from the 10-foot interface that you normally get with Windows Media Center. Over and above that, you can also dive right in there and look at the programs it's recorded for you, and you can stream them back to your iPhone, either over a 3G connection, if it's good enough, or over a Wi-Fi connection. And the app does a very good job of pulling a stream of a low enough data rate so that you don't get buffering. And it does it on the fly, which is fantastic. And it also allows you to dive into your music library, if you've got your music library on the Windows box, and either download straight to your iPhone or stream over the network. And as well as that, it also does a fantastic job of exposing your photo library. So again, you know, if you're away from home, you can use your photo library on your iPhone without having to first having gone via iTunes and imported them into your iPhone. So there you have it, Remote Potato. It's my recommendation. If you use Windows Media Center, it's the part you need. It's not a free app. It's £5 here in the UK, which I don't know what that is in America, probably $100 or something like that, crazy money that you guys use. But it's worth every penny, and I use it every day to manage all my digital media. This is Phil from the Engineers Bench podcast, screencasts and video podcasts for broadcast and media engineers and technicians. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That would be $6.99 in American, Phil. But seriously, if you have media on a Windows machine, Remote Potato is a really good way to access it from this little guy, especially if you run Windows Media Center 7. You can browse the TV guide, you can schedule recordings, you can stream recorded TV, listen to music, the list goes on. You will also need to download the companion Remote Potato software on your Windows machine, which is free. Before we move on to number 4, let's thank Audible for this episode of i5 for the iPhone. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles. Looking for a particular book? Audible has literature, including fiction, nonfiction, even periodicals. For i5 viewers, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you may enjoy from the bestsellers list is The Hunger Games. Aren't you tired of hearing about what a good book series it is? Why don't you listen to it? To download this audiobook for free or another one of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/i5. Number 4. We all want to download the best apps and ignore the bad ones, which should be really easy, but it isn't, given the volume of apps and categories and reviews and junk in Apple's App Store. That's why an app called AppFlow might appeal to you. It's a way to discover apps, download them, and share them, and it looks nothing like the App Store. When you first sign up, you'll automatically follow some suggested users in what's called your flow. They have cutesy names like Designer Debbie and Business Ben. If I browse Designer Debbie's lists, I can find apps that she's put into a bunch of different design categories. Now, I can unfollow Designer Debbie if I don't like these apps. She's not actually even a real person. It's just AppFlow's way of getting me started. But I can follow actual friends and get their lists too. Or I can browse around the Discover area full of free and trending apps. And if I find one that I like, I can download it. I can save it to my bucket to come back to later, or I can add to one of my own lists and let people know why I think it's cool. I do like AppFlow for a few reasons. It's very well designed once you get the hang of the navigation. You don't get a bunch of great user reviews on mediocre apps, which can be misleading and annoying in Apple's App Store. But I do wonder how many of us are honestly going to take the time to curate app lists for our friends. AppFlow really needs that to feel social. Then again, it's only a week old, so give it a spin. It's free. And finally, number 5. You may have heard the news that a little coffee chain called Starbucks is going to start using Square to process its credit card transactions in 7,000 of Starbucks retail stores across the U.S. It's a win for both companies, really. Square gets visibility with millions of potential new merchants and clients. Starbucks saves some money on transaction fees and gets to be seen as a forward-thinking pioneer, at least as far as big corporations go. Well, last week, Square had yet more news, this time for the littler guys. In fact, any merchant using Square to collect payments for goods and services. So let's say I'm selling jewelry. Now I have two options. When I swipe your credit card or your debit card using my Square app and dongle, I can pay the 2.75% flat fee per transaction, or now I can choose a flat monthly fee of $275 as long as I'm processing up to $250,000 per year. Now, if I'm only selling a handful of necklaces per month, I'll probably stick with that 2.75% transaction fee. But maybe I move a lot of merchandise, even if I'm not pulling in Starbucks-like revenue. Maybe my jewelry business is doing really well because I sell a lot of cheap little bracelets. And in that case, $270 per month might make more sense for my bottom line. I think it's impressive to see a new-ish company like Square. They ink a massive deal with Starbucks, and then they turn around and they give anybody with an iPhone and something to sell more flexibility to get paid as well. It's going to be an exciting year for them. That wraps up this episode of i5 for the iPhone. For our episode archives and links to subscribe to the show in HD, just visit us at twit.tv/i5. And if you've got a tip, a question, or an idea, email us at i5@twit.tv or leave us a voicemail, 614-ON-I5. That's 614-ONIFIVE, or send us a video with an app review of your own. Try to keep it to 60 seconds or less, and thanks in advance. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll be back with a brand new i5 next week.